The Honourable Deputy Prime Minister, the President of the Academy, fellow scientists, Your Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, I must very sincerely express how appreciative I am to be in such a wonderful building and be given an opportunity to address you. It's a magnificent piece of art that is so difficult for anybody who ever comes here to forget. It's very impressive. Turning to the subject of our discussions, let me start by saying, like I indicated before, I've only been in full-time politics since just over 2 years ago. Prior to that, I've been a full-time professor of mathematics. So in a way, I've spent well over 20 years of my professional life doing mathematics, and like many of my colleagues, particularly in developing countries, complaining why governments fail to support science and technology, more so mathematics, my own field. Now that I've joined them, I try to understand them. The truth of the matter is that there are just more serious competing interests for funding, particularly in developing countries. In the face of a majority of the population in many of our countries, especially in Africa, having no water except from an open well, having no electricity, living out in the country where you can reach mostly by rough roads, often year after year running short of food, having hospitals that are very far away to reach, and when you reach them, often they are short of doctors, nurses, and medicines. You know, if you go to a country like Chad is more than twice the size of France. It has less than 300 kilometers of tarred road. In the face of those challenges, we scientists fail to make a convincing case. This is just an observation. As a solution, I strongly feel that we now have to join as part of providing the solutions. The aspect of commercialization of research results should be a critical part to be played by all scientists, individually or through your institution, particularly if you are in a developing country. We need to provide those solutions for clean water, those solutions for energy. The solar we talk about all the time in our laboratories, let's get it there. If we do that, you will find that funding gradually comes in and we become an understood component of national development because we will be providing solutions. The second point I want to mention is that I have understood now and then that some feel curricula must be changed, particularly with the youth who are completing their degrees becoming unemployed. To be quite honest, I'm not sure whether I understand what that means. But even if you go to the qualified scientists themselves, I've seen many of them who retire with masters in business studies and they are looking for jobs. We are trying to throw the young people to the deep end to say, now create your own job. And the young people themselves, all over the world, by the way, they don't want to feel that their education is any way inferior compared to those at Oxford or at Hungary or at MIT. So a change of curricula would have to be done globally, not to think that we in the poor countries have a certain vocational kind of education, which then says it's preparing for them for a job, when in fact our economies will not even provide the means for them to start any meaningful projects. I'm not a defeatist, but again, I feel that we must join in providing solutions. The only way we can do it, in my view, is each country can follow its own peculiarities, but students, whether they are doing philosophy or religious studies or science, they ought to be generally exposed to resources of the country, activities, economic activities taking place in the country, the commercial sector. Let them later, on their own, determine the path they can take, whether they can become job seekers or generate new projects. After all, I must advise that I believe that in many places, the one who knows why wants to own the company. But the one who knows how wants a job. So if we try to train people to understand how, we are actually increasing more job seekers rather than people who create new companies. There are people with companies whose background has nothing to do with commerce, but they are driven by the desire for wealth or the desire to participate in national growth whilst they are prepared to stand the risk of business. The third point I want to underscore is that now I don't want to cover governments. I think many of our governments honestly need checks and balances. We have to monitor the extent to which governments should be able to deliver. And ourselves as scientists with the development of ICT now, there must be modalities we can provide so that everyone can monitor exactly what, where are the funds going. When a budget is allocated to any activity, we should make the public aware of it, understand that it indeed goes to meeting the needs of the nation. So some kind of requirement to keep our governments on their feet to ensure that they deliver, I think, is vital. Let me tell you that in my own country, in Zimbabwe, even at my house, I rarely spend more than 2 days without power cuts because we are short of power, load shedding. But the truth of the matter is, when I went to Japan in October, just for 4 days, I became more conscious of government effort there to save energy than I am in Zimbabwe. I don't report to my to my Prime Minister back home, but it's true. I recognize government buildings. You walk along the corridor, the lights are off. You look at the offices, especially toward the evening, only where there's an individual you see light. I go to the airport, I find any desks, check-in desks, where there is no checking in taking place, the lights are off. I try to look for a plug to put my computer. They say, oh, this area, it's cut, go to that area, all in an effort to save power. Governments and public sector, too, in our countries must show that they are active leaders in providing solutions, saving energy, and so forth. This is what I mean, that we must keep them on their toes. And finally, let me say that one of our major constraints, of course, is capacity, human capacity. Yet at the same time, this can be a massive shortage at the level of government, but outside, we have them in universities. We have them in the research institutions. I think some kind of partnership between government and where these resources are is needed, particularly in the area of science and technology. I feel that academies of science, for instance, must see the Minister of Science and Technology as one of their major partners and discuss solutions that can address the challenges that we need in our part of the world. Very briefly, this is all I can say, but let me emphasize that our governments, more so now with the drive for democracy, they have a very short-term life, 5 years. And those 5 years, they have a opposition backing just by their shoulder and asking for what is to be delivered. So until we can participate and show that we provide concrete solutions in the short term, it will be very difficult for many governments to support programs that are entirely geared for the long term. I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr.